Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. The Rick Smith Show.
So today in Harrisburg, you had higher education advocates, you had students, you had researchers, you had a whole bunch of people at the Capitol, groups like the Association of State Colleges, college and university faculty, the Keystone Research Center, and of course, members of the Pennsylvania House and Senate gathering to demand that we invest in higher education. And something we've been talking about for a very long time, the idea that we invest in the future. Seems like a good idea. Maybe we should try it. And what they rolled out was Pennsylvania Promise, this idea that we're going to help people get college education. And here to talk a little bit about it, I've asked John Neurohr. He's the communications director over at the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center. John, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
So walk me through this. What is the Pennsylvania Promise?
Sure. Well, so first and foremost, because we did have this press conference in Harrisburg, we got fantastic attention, media attention for it, and we had a number of legislators that were there with us. But it is yet to be turned into legislative language. So that is a conversation that's happening right now. But we put the report out. Here are the basics. So the idea is that we would cover 4 years of tuition and fees to Pennsylvania state system of higher education schools for students who come from families that make less than $110,000 a year. We would cover 2 years of public community college for any student, any recent high school graduate. We would have 4 years of grants for students, depending on what their family income is, to the state-related universities, so Pitt, Penn State, Temple, and Lincoln University. And then we would also have grants for adults who do not have a college degree for post-secondary education at any of those kinds of schools, so the state-related, the PASCHE schools, the state system of higher education schools, public community colleges, and also then, importantly, apprenticeship programs, state-approved apprenticeship programs. And then there's a little bit more sort of when you get down into the weeds. So there are also what we are calling mobility grants. So students from lower-income families, I believe the number is less than $48,000 a year, those students would be eligible for additional annual grants to help cover other fees associated with being a college student.
Right, books and all kinds of stuff.
Exactly. So it is not free college. There are, you know, other costs, like I just said, associated with being a student. But it takes a significant chunk out of the cost of being a student at one of the public or state-related universities here in Pennsylvania. And as you alluded to before, you know, access to higher education here in Pennsylvania, even for those public universities and colleges, is difficult for working families in a lot of ways. Pennsylvania, there was a U.S. News and World Report ranking for higher education. There are a number of different factors involved with this ranking, including cost, the kind of debt that students come out of school with in a given state, how much states are actually investing in higher education, and Pennsylvania was dead last. So it's a huge problem, and I want to emphasize, it's not just about students going to those four-year colleges and universities. This is also about community colleges and access to community college. It's about adults who don't have a college degree being able to go and get some kind of post-secondary education. So there's a lot involved, and it is ambitious, that's for sure. But, you know, I think, like we've always said when we talk about budgeting and how we appropriate funds, that is really the budget is a moral document in so many ways, and we think that, you know, this is something that we should and do value as a state, and we think that the legislature, our elected officials, should value it more as well.
I'm with you, but here's the thing, and this is one of the things I keep talking about. You know, I'm sure you've seen the report, as a lot of people have. A couple of years ago, they came out with a report that automation is going to, you know, basically destroy half of the jobs we do today, which means there's going to be the need for a lot of job training and a lot of upgrading of skills. And, you know, for people who, you know, people like me who may, you know, you drove a truck for a living. They say in 15 years, there'll be no more long-haul truck driving jobs. So what are you going to do with people like me who are, you know, 50 years old, have, you know, been driving all these years? What's the next career? What's the opportunity to be able to get an education? And can you afford it? It seems like me, now's the time to lay that groundwork to say, okay, when this job goes away, there's a pathway to move into the next one.
No question. I think that it is natural for the main takeaway for the press that covered our event to be about the four-year colleges and universities, the PASHE schools, and basically free tuition for students of under a certain family income. You know, that's the main takeaway, and I understand that. But that's why I wanted to reemphasize how important it is for the component of this for us to talk about, and sometimes, you know, I think lead with the component of this, which is about adult learners. It's about folks going back and using the grants that would be available for state-approved apprenticeship programs. It's the kinds of skills that are available at one of those 14 public community colleges all over the state. If you actually go and you look at the course catalogs at those community colleges, those kinds of skills that you're talking about, those are available in particular at those public community colleges. So that's a really, really important component of the plan. And I think you're absolutely right. That is an option that we can't go without.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I mean, even if you're talking about the 14 state-run colleges and universities or the community colleges, there's got to be a way that it's somewhat affordable. And I tell this story often, John. You know, I have a friend who, she went through law school at the University of Michigan. She went through undergraduate and law school, working a minimum wage job, lived on her own in an apartment, you know, had a car, you know, lived a very, you know, meager life, but graduated with no debt. Now, granted, this is back in the 1960s, but she graduated with no debt. Today, that's impossible. And I look at, you know, I guess the statistic I saw is, you know, here in Pennsylvania, 70% of students who graduate end up saddled with, you know, just years of debt.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, I think the thing that we keep coming back to is really, it's a question of value. It's a question of what we value as a state. You know, the price tag on the plan is $1 billion a year. And we understand that that sounds like a lot of money, and it is a lot of money. On the other hand, when you think about the fact that our budget on an annual basis is, you know, $37 billion and going up, and that we outline some specific ideas for paying for this program, it is not at all reasonable for our legislators to come to the table in a bipartisan fashion and turn a plan like this into legislation. So, you know, some examples of the ways that we could pay for this, a severance tax on natural gas drilling that would be equivalent to what they have in West Virginia, in a couple of years would be able to sustain this program on an annual basis. We put forward the idea of last year the fair share tax, which is basically a tax on income from wealth, passive income. So not on wages and not on interest even. What we're talking about is a tax on capital gains, a tax on profit from rental properties, things like that. If you you can pay for that easily with a very small tax on income from wealth. There are a number of other options that we outline in the plan. A 1% increase in the personal income tax would bring in four times as much money as we would need on an annual basis to have this program as we lay it out in the plan. So it's possible. And I think what we want to do is we want to find legislators who will champion this. We had a great group of legislators at the Capitol for the press conference. We had Senator Vincent Hughes. We had Representative Roebuck, who is the minority chair of the House Education Committee, a great ally. We had Representative Harris from the Philadelphia area, who himself is a graduate of one of the Apache schools of Millersville and is on the board there at Millersville University, another great champion for this. So we're going to continue to have those conversations with legislators. And we really look forward to having conversations with Republicans. And there are many Republicans in the legislature who are champions or like to call themselves champions of the state system schools and the state related as well. You know, this is an opportunity to put your money, well, not literally put your money where your mouth is, but to put your money where your mouth is.
There you go. No, I mean, at the end of it, and it's a way to shore up our state universities, which I argue are, you know, the system is a gem that we need to maintain. But what do you say, John, to the person who goes, you know what, I went to college and I paid my own way and, you know, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and you're just giving this away to these kids?
Well, I think there are a couple arguments there. One, back to your story about your friend who went to the University of Michigan Law School years ago. The cost of college has been rising exponentially. So the story about when they were younger and they pulled themselves up by the bootstraps, and yeah, sure. When even adjusted for inflation, I bet you tuition and fees were a quarter of what they are now. So that's one thing. And another thing is the global economy is changing. Our national economy is changing. Whereas a few decades ago, jobs that were available to folks with just a high school degree, for better or for worse, and this gets into a much longer conversation about the way our economy works, about the way that we value experience versus education. The truth of the matter is those jobs that you could get for with a high school diploma before, you need a college degree. That's just a fact. And so I think what we had a student that was from Shippensburg University at this press conference, an incredibly inspiring young man, a sophomore at Shippensburg University. He spoke, and he comes from a poor family in Reading. His mother was unable to afford to go to college. He's incredibly bright, incredibly sharp, and committed. Got into Shippensburg University. And he said to me, I shouldn't have to wake up every day and be upset about the fact that I am here in college and it's costing us so much money. I should be proud to be the first person in my family to go to college. And I also, we shouldn't be saddling my family with this massive debt. This should be something we're celebrating. And, he said, I'm a sophomore, I'm $30,000 in debt right now, in the middle of my sophomore year. And that's just going to get worse. And that's not how, it should be. And families shouldn't have to make decisions like that for their kids who want to go to college. We should make that accessible to those kids that want to work hard, and better themselves. And, it's great for him to come and speak at this press conference and recognize that he wants to sort of make sure that kids that come after him don't have to worry about that every day that they wake up, to be upset that they're in college and doing what they want to do and following their dreams.
It's another one of those horrible stories. And look, the reality is that tale, that story, replicated too many times in this state and in this country, and at some point the hope is that this kind of legislation moves through, that we take this on. But what do you also say to the person that is going to try and pit the rural against the urban areas? Because you said Philadelphia, and you get some people going, oh, this is all just going to benefit those people. To me, this should be everybody in the state should be able to go as far as their abilities are able to take them. And not because this is where I'm struggling with where higher education has gone. It seems like you can go to any school you want if you can pay for it. And sadly, more of us are unable to pay for it.
Sure. I think that is not untrue on one hand. But to your original question about sort of the rural versus the urban, look at where some of these Pennsylvania state system of higher education schools are. I mean, there's no question that some of our rural areas are what we call education deserts. And that is a different problem. And it's a problem we should also be addressing, where you have parts of the state where there aren't nearby public community colleges, for example, and the state system schools are not necessarily close by. But think about some of the state schools and where they're located. Think about a school like Edinburgh University. Think about a school like Mansfield University.
Like Bloomsburg.
In more rural areas of the state. This plan that we put out is the culmination of a series of reports that we did on higher education. And a couple of those reports pointed specifically to the fact that the Pennsylvania state system of higher education schools, most specifically, do a better job of helping students attain that upward economic mobility that really is the sort of the goal of going to college, or at least the primary function of wanting to go and get a post-secondary degree, is that upward economic mobility.
Yeah.
And the research shows that the state system schools, and this is true of community colleges too, but in particular, state system schools, those 14 schools across the state, many in rural areas of the state, do a better job than private nonprofit, private for-profit, even the state-related universities of boosting economic mobility, taking students that come from families that, the way that we did our research, are in the lower 40% of the income scale, and boosting them up to the top 40% of the income scale. And that might not seem like a lot, but that is significant. That is a game changer for students, and then as they grow their families, it's a game changer. So, I think yes, there is an issue with education deserts in some parts of the state. But also, we do have great public community colleges and PASCHE schools that are servicing many rural areas of the state. And so we want to make sure that the students that live in those areas that want to go to those schools don't have to make these decisions about whether or not they can afford to do it. If they're smart enough, if they're dedicated enough, and they're ready to work, they should be able to go.
That seems simple to me. So the last question I've got, how do we make this a reality?
Well, that's a good question. So like I said, we're working on turning this into legislative language. So we hope soon to have a bill that we can talk more specifically about. But the other thing that we're doing, and we'll keep you abreast of this as we plan it, is we're going to take this on tour. So we're going to go to a number of the state system schools across the state and the community colleges, the public community colleges. We're going to hold events there on campus with students, with faculty, with members of the community, and we're going to talk about how important this is for students and for future students, and for the health and well-being of the state system schools and those public community colleges. Because you're absolutely right, another problem right now is falling enrollment at those schools. And so this another benefit of a program like this is that we can help to stem the tide of that falling enrollment and strengthen those schools that have done so much for so many people in bringing economic mobility, upward economic mobility to Pennsylvania families.
There you go, John. I look forward to that. I look forward to you coming back and telling us what's going on and keeping us up to date.
Sounds good. Always good to talk to you, Rick. Thank you.
Good stuff. Our friend John Neuer, communications director there at the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center. We'll get some information on how you can check out the proposed Pennsylvania Promise. Looking forward to it. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Think of all the roads. Think of all the crossings. Taking steps is easy. Standing still is hard. Remember all their faces. Remember all their voices. Everything is different. The second